Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Swapcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
We're talking again
about body swapping
from boy.
Welcome to the Swapcast podcast, the world's only podcast dedicated to body swap movies. I'm your host, Paul Mitzi, and with me we have...
Brendan Levi.
And our very special guest from the Hunting Seasons podcast...
Broderick Gordis.
In today's episode, we'll be breaking down the 2015 French sci-fi comedy, The Nobodies, where an unsuspecting couple is brought into a secret society of body swappers who are trying to save the world from an evil body swapper hell-bent on taking over the bodies of everyone on Earth. But before we get into that, just a reminder that we absolutely love hearing from our listeners and we welcome film suggestions for future episodes. So please reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram, send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support our show, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common request to review
Face Off.
And just a quick note, Lucy Thomas, our beloved third member of the podcast, will be taking an extended break from our show for some very special new mum duties. Lucy is very much still part of the Swapcast family, and we can't wait to have her back with us as soon as possible. In the meantime, we'll be filling her chair with some special guests, and I know everyone loves Lucy the most, but please bear with us in the meantime. And Lucy, the Swapcast family sends their love and congratulations and please enjoy this break from awful body swap films. So yeah, congratulations, Lucy.
Congratulations, Lucy. This is like me trying to do Hunting Seasons without Damask. There would be riots. Like, it wouldn't even be worth trying to continue.
Well, we're going to try. We're going to soldier on.
Screw the riots. Screw the protests.
Yeah.
On we go.
Yeah.
Let them eat cake.
And hopefully, you know, our episodes will give something for Lucy to listen to.
True.
And she'll relish in the pain of the people stuck here watching the films. On to this week's film, The Nobodies. The world of low-budget films and super high concepts don't always mix. This is a film full of ideas and twists on the body swap trope. Did the filmmakers overextend their grasp, or was this a film... a pleasant genre surprise? As always, I'll let our guest start. So, Brad, what did you think?
It's exactly as you said. It's full of ideas, which is the thing I probably admire most about it. It is definitely, as someone who's watched not nearly as many body swap films as you guys have, maybe this isn't that new original, but it felt fresh to me. And that's the bit I definitely admired the most. Did it overextend its reach? In some ways, probably the ideas are probably more than like the budget or could handle to some degree. But I was pretty impressed with the execution at different times as well. I think there is a lot here that's good, and some things don't necessarily work, or little bits overstay their welcome, or whatever it might be. And like, probably my biggest criticism of the film overall is like, It's for its ideas, it doesn't necessarily bring it all together in the most dramatically satisfying way necessarily, but I had a surprisingly good time with it, and I was overall quite impressed considering it was a low budget sci-fi concept brought to life. It's in the black, let's say that.
Yeah, I agree. Like, there's a lot to applaud, I reckon. This
like you said, being a small time budget, the lore of this film is like deep, and you know, I could absolutely see this as like a comic book. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the, I think the concept is there, and they have some great ideas. With that, I do think sometimes they have, like you said, so many ideas that I was sort of left hanging on a few that I was sort of trying to work out the laws of the universe. And, you know, when you're also trying to read subtitles and it's at a such a punchy pace, which is a good mm-hmm. thing, yeah. I sort of got myself lost and fell asleep a few times. But that was because I was very tired.
Yeah, I have to say, I was really surprised by this film. I didn't expect a movie made for 150,000 euros for YouTube that was completely funded by product placement, by the way, to be this good. Like, the fact that it's was made by a comedy troupe as well, I didn't expect it to be this meaty in terms of its sci-fi ideas. Mm. And, like, it actually hit its dramatic points as well as some comedy beats. Color me very surprised. I didn't expect to love this film as much as I did. And I think I tend to appreciate these kind of lower budget films that achieve this even more than some of like the big films that we do that mm-hmm. just manage to be entertaining. When a film like this, you know, and some of the other indie films that we've done manage to really make something special, when so many other films in this range completely crash and burn, I have a lot of respect for this film. I'm completely dreading the 30-second
crossover.
Yeah,
good luck.
Because, as I said, like, this film has so much plot and so much ideas, and it only goes for 75 minutes. And that's the other thing that I really respect about this film. It didn't overstay its welcome. It actually made you kind of want more because it went by so quickly.
If anything, I think some of the drama or the thematic beats would have been needed a bit more time to be fleshed out. There were some moments that felt like pacing from a, like, keeping things moving, it was good. From moving to one scene to another, it was a bit like whiplash. It's like, oh, we're having this moment now. Feels a little like we shouldn't be here yet, or we didn't quite transition here well, but all right, cool, let's keep moving. A little bit more would have helped.
Yeah, and obviously, Brad, you watch a lot of TV for your podcast. I could definitely have seen this as a TV show rather than a movie. Like, there's enough ideas here that it could have been fleshed out. And I kept thinking this, like, I wonder if anyone will ever, like, pick this up and remake it in any way, because it's the bones are there, like, that you could make something. I could see Hollywood getting this, taking out, like, the dick and sex jokes and making, like, a superhero movie out of it very easily. Mm-hmm. Does anyone want to count me down for this plot summary?
Go.
So there's this couple and they're lazy and all they do is drink. This secret society chooses them to swap their bodies because they're trying to stop this other guy who has managed to be able to swap a whole bunch of bodies. Oh, fuck. I fucked it up.
8 seconds.
I give up. There's too much here. It's just not possible. It's just not possible.
I mean, that's the same problem the film has. It's like there's so many things. Like, you get to the end and, like, it's resolving so many different plot lines and, like, individual character arcs that it's just like, whoa, there was so much in here. It just didn't have time to fill this all in.
Yeah.
Properly.
But it is very clever that it uses this central conceit that we've seen in a lot of body swap films, which is like a couple having relationship problems and body swapping and realizing things about their relationship through the swap, but then chucking that in the middle of this kind of superhero story where they're forced to deal with this like supervillain and all these other superheroes that all have their different like swap abilities, kind of like an X-Men almost environment where they're learning new abilities in almost like a school environment, but it happens to be like the back rooms of a nightclub.
Did you... That's interesting you mentioned that, though. Like, that central conceit that's very familiar, the couple that are having trouble. But normally what would happen there is, like, they would switch bodies with each other, right? It's like they get to... Their perspective changes because all of a sudden, the man's a woman, the woman's a man. Oh, my God. Yeah. Battle of sexes, whatever, right? This one, they just both turn to guys they've never met before. And, like, do you think... This is me being, like... This is me being the story nitpicker. Mm-hmm. Does that... Did the story as it played out, did that central conceit of their relationship, them like growing as a couple, really work for you in the context of the story? Like, because I think that's like exactly where the ball was dropped. It's like idea is there, I guess, but I don't feel like that theme or that central relationship story really tied well into what was happening in the overall sci-fi narrative that was going on. That was much better, I think. And, like, the stuff with the little girl that was in the guy's body was kind of, like, a better realized in terms of getting to a place with that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess so. It's kind of the swap is incidental. It kind of brought them to where they needed to be, but not because of the swap.
No.
It was more because, so the female in the relationship, she had kind of commitment issues, and then... when she has the opportunity to just leave the situation and swap into a different body, she takes it. And then I guess taking care of the little girl that had swapped into a 30-year-old man had kind of gave her the opportunity to finally have a bit of responsibility. And so, yeah.
But it's everything you said there was kinda. It's like, it kind of did this, it kind of did that. But it didn't really, like, get there with any of those central ideas. Again, that's where it could have used more time. Or, like, I think dialogue, at least as far as I can tell, for a film that was translated from French to English subtitles, seemed pretty good for the most part. Mm-hmm. But it could have done another pass by someone who had more experience writing a screenplay for a film, I think. Mm-hmm. This is me being pretty picky because there are so many things that are impressive about the movie. Like, what a small budget film that has to do is make a sci-fi concept work when you can't do like special effects and visual effects stuff really well. And like early on, one of the most things I was most impressed with was when the guys, and there was a couple of instances beforehand, when the two guys come over to take these nobodies while they're sleeping, and like that moment where they transition and they touch them. And then they just instantly fall into the bed, and then the two other actors get up, and it's like instantaneous and like so well rehearsed. It's all in one shot, and it's like it's not the most dynamic shot in the world. You could have made it more like spectacular from a cinematography point of view, but like the execution of that by the actors was so impressive. I was like, that's cool. That works.
Yeah. It's fun
and continues to work. Lots of times throughout the film when those transitions happen, like they had some really talented actors and choreography in those moments to make them hit really well, and doesn't cost a cent except just getting actors to know what they're doing.
You know, the cast of this film is a YouTube comedy troupe that make tons of videos, and I think it's clear like that they have experience with each other as performers, and they bounce off each other really well, and they're just like talented comedians. I was a bit disappointed. I was like, I really want to see some of their other stuff. And I was looking at the rest of their YouTube channel, but like nothing else on there has the English subtitles.
Right.
And there was some kind of, I started watching, they did like a Black Mirror parody. That looked really funny, where like a girl was like being chased by something and then you realize it was by a robot vacuum cleaner.
Right.
And I was like, that's a really funny concept. I really wanted to watch the skit in full, but
obviously. You just need to do the work, Paul. Get on Duolingo, start learning French, and then you can start enjoying these things.
Fuck, I've just finished a year of Spanish, and now I have to start French as well. Did you guys think, like, the comedy translated?
I don't feel like I found myself, like, laughing a lot. But I was sort of thinking, there was times when stuff would happen. I'd be like, oh, like, that's really refreshing. And if I wasn't so dead inside from watching so many SWAT films, I might have found this more entertaining. I feel like the stuff with the dog and the, I don't know why, the kid show, the kid presenters.
Sure.
For some reason, I just found that really funny. I don't know why. There's the energy of those
two. I really like obviously the little girl's in a 30-year-old man's body watching the kids show and like reacting to the show as a kid would like shouting yelling, out the
banana,
like banana. Yeah. I thought the performance was great, yeah. And I thought that was quite funny.
I was amused. I was entertained. I wasn't necessarily laughing out loud, but it wasn't like the only, because the problem with comedy is not necessarily when it's not laugh out loud hysterical. It's when it starts to get like grating. And the only joke that really wore on me, I was like, ah, this overstayed its welcome. It was never that funny to begin with, was the British tourist hashtag. I was going to say
the exact same thing.
Like, that was the one I was like, yeah, that was maybe funny the first... No, it wasn't even funny the first time. It was bearable the first time. And as it kept going, and like, even there's a bit right before they get turned into Milo, they're like going up the stairs and he like went to show the guy a thing on Instagram again. I was like, that's enough, guys. That bit is done. It's time to move on with it. That was like it, though. Otherwise, the guy who was just in his underwear the whole time, the payoff wasn't good enough. It was okay. Yeah. It was okay.
I thought it was funny. When it was okay. Like, why am I the only one in underwear? I thought that was quite funny. I didn't like the British tourist character. I thought by far that was the weakest part of the film.
Yeah.
I know what it was parodying, like the awful English-speaking tourist going through France, but it just was at such a heightened level compared to everything else in the film that it just did not work. Like the fact that he's constantly got the selfie stick and taking pictures of himself, it just didn't make sense in any way. Yeah, I didn't like that character. And it always had that weird disconnect as well of a French actor trying to play a British tourist,
yes,
but he has a French accent.
Yes.
It was kind of like when I went to Shanghai Disney and I met Captain America, and he was played by a British guy. Like, this just feels gross.
Actually, speaking of Captain America, I think the Russo brothers stole... You know the bit in Avengers Endgame where Captain America is fighting himself, and then he knocks the older version of himself out, or the younger version of himself out, and says, "That's America's ass."
Yeah.
And they kind of had that bit in here where she, the main woman, sees her own ass, and it's like, I do have a good ass. And I was like, oh, did the Russo brothers steal that? That feels very much the same joke. She like knocked herself out and then was looking at her own ass like, oh, I do have a nice ass. That's yeah, well done.
What did we think of like all the kind of sex stuff in this? We got very much what we've gotten in a lot of the other SWAT films that we've gotten. You know, people get penises and then suddenly all they want to do is jerk off. We actually have a character who... her one goal in life is just to take over as many guys' bodies as possible and just jerk off with all of them.
I'm sure you've had this discussion on the podcast, but is this fucking sexual abuse when you steal someone's body and like fuck around with it when it's not yours?
Depends which SWAT film you're in. Right. I think the only one I give a pass to is Every Day. I feel like that's the only one I think it's not. I don't know.
But... yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure it is. But I don't know. The character in this film made an argument that it wasn't. Like, they straight out, like, attacked her for it, and she had to defend herself. And she claimed that all she's doing is making the body a bit more relaxed for them when they get back into it.
How old is this film now?
This is 2015.
So it's 8 years. Yeah, well, if you made it today, I think you'd have a little bit less of this. Or you would take a slightly different angle on it, I would think.
Nah, yeah. they make these all the time and they don't care.
Well, I mean, this film did have a pretty, I don't know, do we want to count it as woke view?
Well, I feel like it's the first person, first one that addressed like a trans person getting the body that they wanted, right?
I mean, I don't want to say the word woke because what the fuck? Why would you ever use that term?
Yeah.
To describe that.
Yeah.
A more progressive, maybe.
Yes.
Not an asshole. So. Yeah.
So we have a trans character who was in what they felt was the wrong body, and then through the magic of body swapping has ended up in their correct body.
Yeah.
So, it's funny that we've reviewed over 90 movies. This is the first time somebody's kind of used that language or talked about it in that way.
Yeah, I feel like being John Malkovich, they don't use that language, but it is sort of...
Address.
Yeah, I feel like it's something that... is it Catherine Keener's character is like sort of coming to realize, like...
What was that awful Boy Meets Girl
who
had the opportunity to do this and completely shat the bed with it? That's what I remember. Like, it really was leaning into that idea and then did not know what to do or how to handle it with any sort of tact at all and completely fucked that up.
And I guess that's like a credit to this film. It really, it's like they sat down and thought about all the different ramifications of body swapping, all the different iterations, and they're like, let's address all of it. Let's put all of it in.
All of it. Every single bit.
Wow. What would happen if you could be in like multiple bodies at the same time? What would that be like? And I really liked that concept, and I really liked that villain. I thought he was genuinely menacing.
Did it take a while for the Matrix sequels to make it to France? Like, had this come out a couple of years earlier? Because I was getting a lot of Matrix vibes, both from Milo doing very much the Smith thing from Reloaded. The Master did this in season 3 or season 2, I think it was, of no season 3 of Doctor Who as well, in like 2008 or something like that.
Used the music.
The music in the fight scene at the end or whatever is like, this is straight out of the Matrix. Yeah.
Thank fuck they didn't do bullet time.
Yeah. They thought about it. They did. They looked at that and went, can we budget this? And probably not.
I think this is the first one that we see someone go into an insect. And I did appreciate the payoff at the end as well.
Have you guys not done The Fly?
No.
Holy fuck, get me on that episode.
Well, is that really a... I guess it is.
It's just a very slow body swap.
Very slow body swap.
Very slow body swap.
Yeah. Maybe just to be a fuckhead, I'll just do Fly 2 instead.
I didn't even know there was a Fly 2. That sounds horrendous.
This is the first time we've seen a couple continuously swap while having sex.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah.
And again, really cool and really funny in execution when it cuts to the little girl in the next room being completely distraught by what's going on.
And then listening to like heavy metal music or something.
Yeah, it's like puts on a heavy metal soundtrack.
Actually, speaking of the villain, something that did stand out, going back to the villain, sorry, I should say.
Yeah.
The very first time we meet Milo, he's like having a conversation with this guy. Mm-hmm. And it felt to me like what I liked about that was the realization later that guy was also Milo, because it felt like it was like Milo and someone he knows, like the guy who was a bit more morally gray wasn't fully on board, but then to find out later he was having that conversation with himself and like feeling his way through this, like there was two parts of himself that were that was a cool reveal and very menacing when you found that out too, like and that the guy was like this screaming neighbor who was just coming over for mustard or something like that, whatever it was.
It's mayonnaise. Like the worst part of himself, like, is the part that leaves, like, and goes off.
Yeah. That was a cool idea.
And the performance of those two guys, I thought were really good.
Mm-hmm.
They sold it.
That should be the tagline. That was a cool idea.
Yeah.
Once again, I feel like that would make a great comic book villain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Actually, it did remind me of what's his name? Who did all the new did the Suicide Squad and
James Gunn.
James Gunn had a movie called The Specials. Did you guys ever watch that?
No.
It was like a superhero. Like it was sort of like reminiscent of like Mystery Men, where you've got all these superheroes with lame powers.
Right.
So it was like Bird Girl, who could lay eggs and could hear really well. And there was I can't remember the name of the character, but it was like one man in eight bodies. And so he just had eight different bodies he could switch from, like, over to. And that was just like, cool.
did he make Super as well? I didn't realize how many superhero movies James Gunn made before he made a superhero movie. That's pretty impressive.
I think the villains in the Peacemaker TV series kind of have a similarity to the kind of Hive in this as well.
Yeah.
Maybe James Gunn also stole from this.
Marvel's just been sifting through YouTube films and stuff like that for ideas. Kevin Feige secretly, yeah, as a YouTube account. Okay, this makes sense.
It's kind of nice to know that there's quality free movies on YouTube.
Totally.
Like, the amount of crap that I watch on there all the time. And there's all these gems hidden around that I will never... Like, you'd never... The algorithm would never get this
well,
to you.
Well, just the aggregate for YouTube Red, I feel like they do actually genuinely need a better UI for their longer form content, because there is, like you said, like, there's genuinely good stuff out there, but also stuff that YouTube made themselves that just I don't think got an audience, you know.
Do we know what's happened to this group since? Because I didn't really click on any videos, but I went to the channel just sifting through the videos, and they sort of stopped making stuff probably a couple of years ago, it seems like, and the actual core comedy troupe in themselves, maybe a year after the film came out, really stopped making stuff, it seemed like. So I'm like, have they gone on to do big budget stuff? Maybe they're doing stuff for French TV. It's not on YouTube anymore. It's more commercial. I just wonder what's happened to them. But again, maybe they need to get on Duolingo to figure that out.
Yeah, it seems like they're still working. But okay. Yeah, I don't know the details. A lot of the articles I was trying to look up were all in French, right. So it was very hard to find details.
The videos that we watched seem to have about 1 million views, which seems like a lot, but also like not enough to be like a flat-out success either. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, this film apparently was immediately profitable.
Oh, okay, cool. Good for them.
Because it was funded by the product placement.
Yeah.
Apparently, some French TV station did like a marathon of all their shorts and then showed the movie in prime time, and it actually rated really well.
Cool.
Yeah,
it seems to be. And like looking through the reviews, like it's funny, like thinking this is a 2015 movie, but so many people talking about how this is like a nostalgic favorite for them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it seems like that comedy troupe must have been something a lot of kids grew up with, and this movie was like something that they really, you know, connected with. So
one of the guys, the one that was the woman, right, Lily,
yeah,
was sort of like French Jean Ralphio meeting Ryan Reynolds meets the guy from the pitch meeting videos on YouTube. If you watch those pitch meeting videos, like,
yeah.
It's like that. It was like those three people in one and French.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's where my brain went, but that's where it went.
I could definitely see the Jean Ralphio thing with the...
The hair. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I didn't want to say Ben Schwartz. It was like, it's Jean Ralphio with that hair. Yeah.
But we'll get into what we thought of the hair next segment. So good segue. So you heard what we thought of the movie, but how attractive did we find the cast? Now it's time for Hot or Not. Take it away, me. Are they a toot or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if they're hot or not.
Ding. Everyone is beautiful in their own way.
I can't believe you didn't do that in like at least a French accent.
Yeah.
Or actually translate into French.
We'll put like a squeeze box or something behind it.
Okay. So let's start with Raphael Descrateaux, who was Lily. So he was the one with
the
crazy hair that Lily went into.
That's some horrific hair.
Yeah. Horrific. I think he's an attractive man.
I agree.
But the hair and the clothes were both horrendous. But especially the hair.
You didn't like
giving
like
him a big
manga hairdo?
Yeah, it was like if this film was made in like 2006 rather than 2015, I could have maybe forgiven it. But
was it a
by
wig?
This point...
It wasn't a wig, was it? It was just like... Because it almost like the hair itself, like the quality of his hair almost looked fake. It looked synthetic. It looked manufactured somehow.
Yeah.
That is weird.
I'm looking at like red carpet photos and that's his hair.
Mm.
That's his actual hair. And he's actually had it crazier than that as well. But again, yeah, he was an attractive guy. And in the movie, it was canon that he had a giant penis as well. So even better. Brendan, are you giving a hot or a not?
Nah, I'm not. I just like Googled his name and like the first photo that just popped up was like
a giant penis.
Yeah. with a crazy hairdo, yeah. No. I'm saying no. No, not for me.
Julian Joselyn as Ben. So this is the other guy that Ben, the husband, this is the body he goes into for the majority of the film. Hot or not?
Fine. Is there a fine option? He's okay.
I think he's all right.
Yeah, I'm
looking at some photos of him. Like, he can pull it together, I reckon.
I have to say, like, watching this film, I realized I really have a thing for French men with scruffy beards.
Tiny Frenchmen with scruffy beards.
Yeah. But, like, the majority of the cast was French men with scruffy beards. And they were all hot to me. So, yeah, spoiler alert, I'm going to give hots to most of these people. Julian was definitely hot. I would say he was probably the hotter of those two. And
if they haven't broken up already, you just caused a rift in that relationship.
And I have to say, like, the whole film, I was just waiting for them to make out, and they only had one.
Just little schmooch. One little peck. It was really disappointing, actually. I agree. That was a letdown.
Yeah.
But would you have been more offended if they did some comedic, like, long kiss and did it for laughs rather than, like, to make it, like, heartfelt scene? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would definitely have been upset with that. But all I want, but that doesn't mean I shouldn't
get the other.
Get the alternate, other
sure.
Yeah. It would have been weird if they'd done that, though, because while there is a film with a fair amount of comedy in it, it felt like the relationship drama and stuff was pretty, they were really going for it. They were not a different story, but they were going for it.
Vincent Tyrell as Magali. Technically we should friend or foe. So let's friend or foe the character, but I want a hot or not the actor because he was fucking hot. Because he's a very attractive man. I just want to put it out there. Just in case he's listening.
A great beard. I had beard envy.
He's like giant, tall, buff man with beard. He was hot. So I just want him to know if he's listening, I will have sex with you if that's an option, if it's on the table. So let's.
I was going to bring up Google Translator, so just to make sure he gets the message. If he's listening, I was going to ask. Do you guys understand what happened to the child's body when he disappeared? No.
Yeah. So
it made it sound like that Milo like entered it and then just died or something.
Yeah, it was very. Left it for dead. Either.
Yeah, it sounded like he killed the body. So he probably put someone else in it and then killed them.
Put someone else in them.
Yeah, that was the other thing I didn't quite understand. Because they talked about like empty vessels. Is that when someone jumped into a body and then just jumped out and left it without another soul in it?
I guess so, yeah. Because he could do the Wi-Fi swap, so he didn't even have to. Yeah, he didn't even have to touch to swap bodies. So if he was in that girl's body and decided to go into another body, I guess.
But yeah, then, this is where I'm confused. It's like Eric. So
go. Well, this is where I'm like, yeah. But then this
if he went to another body, wouldn't there have been a soul swap there where the other body's soul would have gone back into her? No, if they did the
Wi-Fi swap, there'd be two souls in there. Like, get out. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, because they said if he can have two souls in one body, but then the dominant soul will extinguish the other one.
Sure.
Yeah. There was a lot of concepts in this film.
Yeah, too many.
But would we friend or foe Magali?
How old was she meant to be?
5.
Oh, then no. No, like, she seemed like a nice enough kid, right?
That's fine. Yeah. That's the thing.
I didn't know
much
about her as a person. She was a character.
The kid, right? Yeah. She was just a kid. She didn't have a perspective. She didn't have a personality. She was just a a kid. That was yeah. the dominant part of their personality. And it's like, it's hard to say if I'd be friends with them because they didn't have, they're not a person.
Yeah. but yeah, I you know, in the end of the day, she saved the day. She was
that's
she
why
was
I asked if she was five, because she's almost like three. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah. like barely communicating with people. 5 year olds can have fucking conversations. You know what I mean? Like 5 year olds are
in on the spectrum.
Kindergarten, maybe. Or Dad didn't like, come across in the performance.
Or maybe the fact that, you know, this person's soul was ripped out of their body at a young age maybe fucked them up a little bit.
Yeah, being living in the... Because it was a so hobo's body, wasn't it?
So am I the bad guy if I don't want to be friends with a yes. traumatized child? Is that the...
Yes.
So, I want to be a bad person?
Yes.
I'll go play at that Harry Potter game now. They may as well just double down.
All right, let's finish with Quentin Bazal as Milo, the villain.
He reminded me of somebody. I kept thinking he was like, he reminded me of this actor that was in American Gods. I don't know. And I looked him up. He's like, he's nobody. He's never been, he's been yeah. like three things his entire life. He reminds me of yeah. somebody. I was like, they got one real actor, one like famous guy, yeah. and he got to be the villain. He was a good, I liked his performance a lot, actually. There was a certain subtlety to it that I liked.
Yeah.
Hot, I guess. Sure.
Like, as a person, like, he was a piece of shit. Sure, like,
sure.
And, like, his main reason for doing all this was to have sex with a woman that didn't want to have sex with
True.
him.
True.
And yeah. he made it incredibly complicated.
And yeah. He then just ended up having trying to have sex with himself.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's like...
if he had done that in the which first is what place, maybe this wouldn't have happened.
Exactly. Well, what inevitably what ends up happening is you try too hard and your only option is yourself. So, like...
Yeah. It's really an analogy.
It
for
is.
Us. But I have to say, as a like, if he was not a piece of shit, he was a very attractive person.
Well, I feel, is that the message of this film? Is, like, if you're thinking about doing, like, something jerky or, like, gross... Just mm-hmm. rub one out and clear your head and just think about it. Is that what it is?
If that is the message, I don't need it.
Message received. Preaching to the choir.
Now it's time for Opinion Swap, where we find some entertaining reviews of the nobodies from across the interwebs.
I'm sorry I cannot hold a candle to Lucy in that last segment, by the way. I just got nothing to offer. Like, really, this is where Lucy is missing the most, I think, is Hot or Not.
Well, yeah, a bunch of, like, French dudes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This was her turf, and I do not belong here.
So, first review is from Amy, who gives it 5 stars. And she says, my mum fell asleep for the last 15 minutes, but still thought it was good. So, a bit like Brendan.
Yeah.
Meg gives it 4.5 stars. And she says, every time I watch this, I have to remind myself that they're just acting really well and not actually switching bodies.
I thought they were going to say not actually French.
imagine. Yeah, it was actually really hard to find reviews of this film because most of them were in French.
Right. Google Translate, do you not have like installed or something like that? You could have definitely used a translator to get the gist.
Yeah,
and some funny results potentially.
Yes, and like IMDb didn't even have one review. I have never gotten a film that has like it had.
You could be the first.
No, people rated it, and it was actually rated quite highly.
Okay.
But no one had actually done a written review of the film. Wow. So, and finally, we have one from Franco Vidal, who is at 3 stars, and he says, "I mean, in the body swap film canon, this is fine. It's no Freaky Friday." And it's certainly no Scooby-Doo.
I mean, it's definitely not those two things. It's true. It's an accurate review.
I am shocked by how often Scooby-Doo is mentioned. Like, when I tell people about my podcast, people mention Scooby-Doo a lot.
Yeah.
And it's one scene of that film.
It's a great film, though.
It's a great film.
It's a great but film. It's James Gunn. It's James yes. Gunn. We're back here again.
Who swaps bodies in
this game? They all do.
They all do. They swap souls a bunch, yeah.
But it's one scene of the whole film, and people really revere it as a body swap kind of
Isn't the whole
film.
Movie, though, the concept, though, that people are being taken over by, like, evil demon souls and stuff like that. Like, the whole film is kind of a body swap film.
I guess so.
Yeah. And well, you haven't reviewed it.
Yeah. I mean, it's on the list. You're going to have to do it. Because
of your duty. Is that the word?
But it's funny on that. So when I was like researching this, I came across a Reddit post where somebody was talking about Scooby-Doo and watching Scooby-Doo and the scene where Fred was in Daphne's body and he's like touching her boobs or whatever was the moment that that person realized that they were trans.
Yeah, right.
So Scooby-Doo like literally changed their entire life. And then somebody else in the comments said that this film did the same for them.
Oh, wow.
This
That's
one.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it is like Scooby-Doo. That reviewer was wrong.
Yeah, exactly. but it's funny to think, you know, like we watch these very often very silly, inconsequential movies for this show, but the thought that some of them may actually change people's lives, like, is just a wild concept to me.
It is when we're just talking about the thing we were talking about earlier, that it doesn't feel like this genre, this well-trodden ground for, like, making movies and stories hasn't, or at least I've not seen one that's really done the idea of, like, the trans story particularly well.
Mm-hmm.
It's somehow, it's enough for people. Like, I guess, like, people think about, like, the Willow and Willow story and Buffy and stuff like that as being very influential for them as figuring out that they're gay, for instance. Damask would, I'm sure, say that in some level. Wasn't necessarily the best representation, but it was enough to get people there. I wonder if that will change. I wonder if that will become a trend as, like, trans stories becomes a bigger focus going forward, as you'd imagine it's going to, because it's a much bigger issue now, or more widely talked about issue. I wonder if that's the next wave of, like, swap films, post-swap films.
Yeah. Well, if any of our listeners know of any films that have done it in a really good way that I just haven't come across yet, please let me know, because I would love to see, like, a trans filmmaker's version of a body swap film. Mm-hmm. I think it would be fascinating and maybe give us some different insight that we've gotten out of the 100 movies we've watched so far. Okay, now let's get to tenuous recommendations, where we each recommend a piece of media that is linked to today's movie in some way. And a reminder, if you ever want to see a list of all the recommendations we have made on the show, head over to our Letterboxd page, which is linked on our website. So I'm going to start. My connection is French cinema. I'm so sorry. So I'm recommending a film. It was released in France in 2021, but it came out everywhere else last year, called Lost Illusions by the director Xavier Giannoli. And this is based on a novel by Balzac. And it's a period kind of drama. And it's about a poet who, you know, his dream is to become like a published poet that everybody loves, and soon realizes that it's almost impossible to get there. But he kind of falls into becoming a theater critic, and then soon realizes that he can make a lot of money by getting paid off to be able to give bad reviews to some plays and good reviews to others, and he becomes a very famous and influential critic, but completely leaves behind all his morals, and it's his descent into you know, depravity. It's kind of like if every DC fanboy's theories about film critics was a period piece. I really enjoyed it. It's a really well-made film, like lush production values, really well acted. I had a really good time with it, and I don't think many people are talking about it. Didn't get an Oscar nomination or anything, but I thought it, you know, really deserved a bigger stage. So Lost Illusions.
Nice. Sounds interesting.
I think you'd actually enjoy it.
10 years to watch.
Okay, we'll do. I didn't mention it's 2.5 hours. Brendan, what's yours?
So my connection is I was wanting to do a film which was like a comedy troupe getting to do a feature production.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to do Talk to Me, but I never actually got to see that. Did you get to see it at the Adelaide Festival?
No, I didn't.
No. Oh. Well, I heard really good things about it. So this is sort of like a mini recommendation of give it a go.
But so it's an Adelaide, like they were originally from Adelaide, and then they've become like YouTube stars, the Raka Raka crew. And now their latest film that you're talking about just got picked up by A24. So
yeah.
Oh, wow.
However, I will be going a little further back to the days of Derek Comedy. Does anyone remember Derek Comedy?
Ooh, I certainly do.
With a little known actor, writer, director, rap artist named Donald Glover.
Right. Do you
know? Yes.
Did you ever see any of his work in the Derek Comedy trio?
A long time ago, yes.
Well,
but I can't remember. It's been a while.
Well, you might or may not be familiar with the feature film that they did called Mystery Team. I was going to say Adventure Team, but what is there to say about Mystery Team? It's a coming-of-age story about three young lads who run a like Hardy Boys sort of detective agency, and they never quite grow up, and they continue to solve the crimes, like, you know, finding Mrs. Crabtree's cat and shit, even at the age of like 20 or something. So I feel like I recommended on the show The Kid Detective, mm-hmm. which is sort of like a much more gritty, dramatic version of this. And this is just the complete opposite. It's an absolute farce and is absolutely hilarious. If you go and like read the reviews, I think it shows the cult following when everyone's reviews are just like quoting bits of the film. Like,
this film is so, so funny.
And yeah.
How many films can you say have Donald Glover and Aubrey Plaza?
Mm.
Like, so good.
The to-do list.
The to-do list.
Has both of them, but yeah.
Oh,
I know what you
mean.
I
thought you were saying they were on your to-do list. I'm like, I get it.
Yes, that also.
Yeah.
Yeah, have you even heard of this film, Rod?
Maybe some. I definitely haven't seen it. But Derek Comedy, yeah, was something it. I need to go back to.
If you're of a highbrow variety, you may not enjoy the comedy. It is very crude. But I don't know. I remember laughing my ass off. So I highly recommend it. Yeah.
Yeah. I heartily second that recommendation. Such a good movie. And not talked about enough.
So I completely forgot to do this. Just once again, just shit at my job here. So I started Googling frantically and I looked for, 10 best ensemble comedy films. This is Spinal Tap came up. And Monty Python. I'm like, nah, it's too easy. Then I went 10 best French films. And obviously Amelie was in there and stuff like that. Again, too easy. And I was like, what's my favorite film where people speak French in it? And the answer is Inglourious Basterds. Go watch Inglourious Basterds. Fucking love that movie. In fact, just watch the opening scene of Inglourious Basterds, and then you'll have experienced cinematic perfection. So my recommendation is Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious Basterds. I'm so sorry.
Look, it's a solid film.
It's a great film. I got nothing. Yeah. If you haven't seen Amelie, go see Amelie, I guess. I don't know.
I'd put Inglourious Basterds before Amelie.
Lucy's already done Amelie on her list as
well. Oh, good. Okay. What's Jean Reno been in that's worth seeing? Leon the Professional? What else is there? That's it, really. Sure. Let's go. Godzilla. It, yeah. Go see Godzilla. Yeah. Jean Reno is in Godzilla. Fucking terrible movie. Matthew Broderick's in it, though. And he shares a name with me. I got nothing.
If you head over to our website, you'll see that each of us has ranked every body swap we have reviewed for the podcast. So my question is, where are we all going to put the nobodies on our list? I am going to put it in between the Velocipasta and 13 Going on 30. I had a really good time with this.
How high is that on your list?
18. It's in the top 20.
And how many films have you reviewed now?
90.
Whoa. That's a re-endorsement.
Yeah, I just realized that we both have... Oh, wait, no. Sorry, I've got 14 going on 40 at the same placement as 13 going on 30. I'm putting it between 13 going on 30 and Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
Which one's higher?
Oh, sorry, wait, no. I'm putting it between Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, and vice versa.
So that's some pretty good like company there.
Yeah, for sure.
This is a big endorsement here.
Mm.
Like I said, like I think just if they had a budget, mm-hmm. like not that 150 grand isn't nothing, but if they were able to like flesh this out, I think in a grander vision, I think it would have been something really special. But
yeah,
for what it is, it's still a great time.
I have a considerably shorter list, though it's getting there now. I am going to put this below the Buffy body swap episode.
Okay.
And above Avatar The Way of Water.
Wow.
So,
$300 million.
And that's why I stopped there. Right there. Look what you can do, James Cameron, with just some string and sticky tape. Like, this is all you fucking need.
I on another note, I went and rewatched Titanic in 3D the other day.
Yeah.
That film fucking amazing. Holds yeah, up.
Sure.
So good. You're not a fan?
No, I'm sure you're right. I'm sure it's great.
It feels like Brenner would hate it just because
that's what Titanic? Like,
yeah.
No, I remember some parts.
Remember the sinking. There was sinking in it, right? Something sank?
Yeah.
I remember boobies.
Yeah. That being said, like I took my niece and nephew, and in my memory, the boob flash was quite quick. But watching when you're that there again.
With your nieces and nephews, it's like.
Well, no, like in just generally, it goes on for like her boob is there for a while. Like there's a lot of boob in that scene.
But how was it in 3D, Paul?
Oh, the nipple felt like it was going to poke me in the eye. And then I thought, actually, this is my first 3D nipple. I don't think I've seen a 3D nipple. So, yeah, we got to experience that as a family, which is nice. All right. So, next episode, Brian, you're going to be thanking your lucky stars. You're not going to be on this one.
because I feel that way every time I listen to an episode I'm not on. Go on.
Yeah, so your good friend Hannah will be joining us for this episode.
Oh, hands on. Fantastic.
Yeah, where we'll be watching, she doesn't know this yet, the film Love on a Leash, where a dog in love with its owner transforms into a sexy man in order to romance her.
I'm actually a little bit jealous. That sounds amazing.
Sounds
like the opposite of the what was the one with what's his name? I'm terrible with names.
Heavenly Dog,
Chevy Chase.
Yeah, where a man turns into a dog to seduce
a woman.
This film is renowned for being like an epic piece of shit. So I am very much looking forward to it. It's like the Room level that.
Oh, right.
So, yeah.
Oh, now I'm really
big shoes.
Yeah. So that should be a fun one. I don't know if Hannah's realized what she signed up for, but.
I know Hannah appreciates a good bad movie.
Maybe you can like sit with her and go through it together. Like, you know, sometimes a bad movie.
Oh, it's her birthday coming up next week, company. Actually. Maybe it's like, here you go.
So yeah, that should be a fun one. So thanks again.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Brod, for joining us.
My absolute pleasure.
So this might, I think, might be the last time you'll be able to plug a future episode of your show. So can you tell us what's coming up?
It all depends on when I get around, or Damask and I get around to actually recording our final episode. It's been, what, 4 weeks, 6 weeks since we did our penultimate episode. I've been unwell has been the main reason it hasn't happened. It will happen soonish. Hunting seasons. We're nearly done. We reviewed seasons of television. You can find us at huntingseasonspodcast.com. There are 200 individual review episodes there to go back through. If there's been a show over the last 6 years, or possibly before that, that you've enjoyed, there's a very high chance that we reviewed a season of it somewhere in there. Go check those out. And yeah, the final episode, our goodbye episode, is coming up. It's interesting. I've been watching a lot of TV, and it's been wonderful to not be taking notes about everything I'm watching. I'm not taking notes about Poker Face or The Last of Us or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I'm also sad I don't have, like, I can't just, like, put out, a platform to talk about how much I'm enjoying Poker Face and The Last of Us right now. although I was, actually, on the Story Mode podcast, a week or so back, we were talking about The Last of Us Episode 3, which, if you guys have watched that, was an absolute all-timer. Yeah, that's me. Thanks again for having me, guys.
Well, yeah, no worries. Great to have you. Thank you for coming. Like, disappointed you didn't, like, go with my idea of role-playing Lucy swapping bodies into your body. But nevertheless,
that would have been such a good idea. I should have done that. I would have needed a week in preparation to, like, really study her character and, like, listen through.
But give me
the heads up next time. I'll see what I can do.
You just gotta go.
I'm sure I won't offend her at all.
Thanks again, and you're welcome back anytime, and I'm sure we'll ask you to come back very soon.
Thanks. Cool. I'll look forward to it. Especially if you do Scooby-Doo. I want to be on that one. There was another one you mentioned earlier as well. Anyway.
Okay, definitely. So until next time, don't be a piece of shit on the ground, DPW, and review us on iTunes or Spotify. And, like, come on, Spotify listeners, I know there's plenty of you out there. Fucking review us. Like, I can tell that you haven't been, so just do it. And I was Paul Mitzi.
Oh, I was Brendan Levi. I'm waiting for Lucy.
And I was Lucy Thomas.
Should we leave a space? Like,
that seems place morbid. Don't do that.
No?
And I wasn't Lucy Thomas. And I
was Broderick Gordis.
The right, music's you, already bye. Playing. We're gone.
Bye.
The Swellcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Too Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.